This hour of Overdrive is powered by FanDuel. FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score.
All right, here we go. Overdrive, off and running, TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker. Brian Hayes, Zero Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. What's up? What's up? How we feeling? Everything's positive. Everyone's in a good mood.
Is that what it is?
Listen, all the teams in Toronto are doing awesome right now.
Where is their positivity? What range of the city is it in? Tell me.
Well, the Canadian Open is on its way up soon,
yes,
right? That's a positive. You got that going. The weather, beautiful weather.
It's going to be beautiful
through the weekend. So that's a positive. But, yeah, outside of that, you know, there's it's not a good scene here for the Toronto sports teams. You know, the Leafs are in flux to an extent. There's reports that the Raptors really don't know which direction they want to go. The Jays, obviously, we're aware of what's been happening with them recently. And then on top of it, TFC is a soap opera right now.
They just put up their hand and said, can we join the fun,
hold
too?
Hold my beer. Hold
my vape. Hold my vape pen.
Dude, they got a guy. They got a guy wheeling around with a vape in unrestricted areas. And
I don't even know what that means. Like, is there a restricted vape area?
It would be like us going to that little area before we go into the studio at work and someone saying, look, man, you can't vape here. And then you just come back the next day and you're vaping. And then you're vaping in the studio. And then you're vaping around J-Mac's office. And someone just says, take your vape.
Yeah.
Like, get out.
There's reports. We're talking about Bernard Deske, who will not be playing tomorrow. Right.
For vaping.
He called out Bob Bradley last week, went public. By all accounts, there's a mutiny. You know, it's just an absolute mess. And they're terrible. They're not any good. They're dead last in the East. But I guess he's been vaping, like, on the plane, which I'm not even sure that's a team policy. That's like, you know,
I think that's
the government
Canada
gets
policy.
Involved.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah, sorry, pal. You know, like, that's probably not going to fly in the locker room. And it's a mess. It really is a mess. And we should probably put a poll up, like, which of these four teams, the Maple Leafs, the Raptors, the Blue Jays, Toronto FC, feel like they're flying under the radar the most. It's probably the Raptors. In fact, I know it is because they've been out the longest. And yet, you know, they're still looking for a coach. Windhorst is reporting they haven't made up their mind on if they're going to bring the band back or basically blow it up. Might want to figure that out, you know, pretty soon, I would think. Jays are playing, TFC's playing, the Leafs. I guess the Argos need to put their hand up and say, we're good. You know, we're in camp. Yeah. We're here, and everything's all good. Everyone's on board with the Argos being a staple and a pillar of consistency. Shout out to the Argos.
They usually are pretty consistent.
Yeah, they are.
They're not like you know, they come to play.
Pinball, he knows what he's doing.
Exactly, but they've got a really quality fan base, and like, to me, you never worry about the Argos. You check in and say, okay, how's it going out there? But I think it's got to be the Raptors based on the team, Brian. Like, it's not like they underachieved or overachieved this season. They kind of were just there. At the deadline, we had this conversation. You know, Masai didn't sell off. If anything, he grabbed a player, and it's like, we'll sort it out in the summer. They kind of landed where a lot of people expected. The Blue Jays, high hopes. The Leafs had a great regular season, get past the big hump, and then fall flat in the second round. So there's some chaos, and then the Dubas stuff. So it's a lot noisier, and TFC you just mentioned, like, I don't even...
TFC's the worst, like, without question. They got the highest payroll in MLS, and they're last in the East. They haven't made the playoffs in a couple of years. Ever since Greg Vanney left, it's been a disaster, really. Like, when Vanney left, it was like the ship began sinking.
Well, the new guy was supposed to have all the answers. And by the way, the new guy is one of the players. Apparently, they hate his guts. And it's one of the players' dads.
Well, not just any player. The longest standing and the captain of the team, Michael Bradley, which it was always going to be an issue when you have a player and a dad as the coach. I mean, it was never going to be seamless. There were going to be guys who were like, I'm not comfortable talking to you about anything.
Well, you can't.
Nor
play.
Should you.
You can't. You can't talk. Like, I was thinking about it before we came on. Has there ever been at the highest level, so hockey, basketball, you name it, baseball, where the top dog, like the coach, the manager and that, and the son is on the team? Like, I'm sure there has, because I, you know, especially in baseball, I think, you know, Ken Griffey Jr., maybe
right.
his son was, you know, something
Kevin
like that.
Kevin Dineen played for Bill Dineen in Philadelphia.
But how tough is that? Like, I do believe the Sutter brothers, like one Sutter brother coached another type of thing. Like, I think there has
to have happened.
Yeah, there's six of them. But I mean, you know, at the end of the day, like I feel like that's just a recipe for disaster. The only thing I could think of recent was Dave Lowry taking over in Winnipeg and his son Adam as the third
right.
line center there.
There's
and
an example
tough.
Right there. And it
that's
really tough, and it didn't go well. Like,
no,
it really did. And not that it was that relationship
no.
that caused the problem, but by all accounts with TSC, you've got a lot of players that don't trust Bradley. I think that was an issue with some of the previous players, too, that
right.
Bradley's taking it right to his dad about what's going on in the room, and you can't have that. Like, I hope that's not the case, because I really like Michael Bradley. He's had an unbelievable run, right?
Yeah.
He's had the greatest run in franchise history, without question. You know, like,
Hayes, you have to admit, whoever decided to bring in the dad as the coach, it's a piss poor decision. It's
yes.
just it like to think that was ever going to work, to bring in the captain's dad. It's really poor judgment on somebody's part that made that choice.
And remind Brutal. Me, and the captain's not the best player anymore, right?
No, he's not.
Longer
he's up
in
there
the
in
tooth,
age.
And like that's the hardest part too. Like sometimes I used to see it in minor hockey. The best player in minor hockey, the dad's the coach, but and plays his son a ton. Well, yeah, you can see it because the son was the best player.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is a scenario. It doesn't sound like the son is the best player. He's
no.
a captain. Like, and now it's just. Yeah, I don't want to use the word mutiny, but it doesn't sound very good whatsoever.
No, it's not. And to further that point, Noodles, last year that was a big part of the issues, by all accounts, with the players, was that Michael Bradley was playing every single minute. He never came off the pitch. Like, Bob Bradley was playing his kid into the ground. And the guy, it's not like he's 22 years old. He's, you know, well into his 30s. And the guy's just like, you stay out there, you know, like orange slices at
yeah,
half.
Just
you know,
keeps waving him out.
Yeah, you can't have it. And now what you've got, too, you've got two, you know, international players who have come over here, the two Italians, who are remarkably talented, and it was a huge get for MLSC to bring them over here from a promotional standpoint, marketing standpoint, and simply the way they can play. And the two of them, I think what likely happens a lot with MLS is you get big European players playing for massive clubs, including the national team, and they come over here and they look down on MLS, right?
Right.
They're here, they're like, we'll take the money, and it's not that they're not trying, but they probably come in with a poor attitude. And not just these two guys. I think it's probably happened a lot.
It's mail-in yeah. time. It's
yeah.
like...
It's MLS is not European football. It's not even close.
Right.
So you pay them a lot, and they show up, and they do their thing, and they haven't been performing that well, and now they're speaking publicly and kind of going out to coach, or Bernardeschi is, and he's out tomorrow, and they're last in the East. So anyway, more on that in about an hour and a half. Josh Kloak will join us from The Athletic. There's a bombshell report, again, from The Athletic about what is going on behind the scenes and what some of the players are saying on the record, off the record, players-only Ooh. Meetings. Yeah, it's really
tough.
An issue. The Athletic, also our boy Jonas Siegel, we didn't get into his article yesterday, but Jonas was writing about, you know, what's going on, the vibes down at Maple Leaf Central, right, with Dubas no longer running the show, and some of the comments from people anonymously were, I was taken aback. I have
what,
to be,
the,
like,
the word heartbreaking and like
well,
somebody,
mourning.
Like,
someone said on
yeah,
the record, like not on the record because they didn't put their name, but I'm mourning
yeah,
that Kyle Dubas isn't here. And I'm like, are you guys serious?
I think
right
that's
now?
Asinine. I'm sorry. I think
what
it's
is
asinine.
Happening down there
like,
with the Maple Leafs?
That is, I get it. Like Kyle very well liked. We've gone over the Kyle situation, but you're right. I read the same article, and the tone of it was like it's almost like you say somebody died around there.
Yeah,
you know, and that's
Noodles. Let's be honest. Like we all like each other very much. We
yes.
are like brothers, But if one of us got gassed, the other two would be like, man, you need anything, let me know. And then the other message would be to the other guy saying, who's on the show today? Because we got a show to do. You know what I mean?
Seriously, the show goes on.
Yeah. But you're right. The Leafs actually still have a team, and they're a very good team, and they'll be fine. Yes, it blindsided a lot of people, but I was taken back, agree, Brian, with some of the verbiage, like mourning and, oh, like, I get it, but, like, move on. You're still going to have a boss. You're still going to have a paycheck. You're still going to have things. It just might look a lot different. And again, contrary to popular belief on that situation, there are other good managers in the league. There's other good people, too. And Kyle will move on and land somewhere and take his act over there, or his talents.
And that's why I have no issue with, and I would totally understand. In fact, I'd be shocked if this wasn't the case, if there was anxiety that change is coming, because everyone knows the new GM comes in, probably brings his own people.
Sure.
Like, if that's what was pouring out of it, was, hey, we're all kind of nervous here that we're not going to be here any longer because Kyle's out. Yeah. Like, I totally get that. But this idea that, like, you know, I need 2 weeks off because Kyle's, you know, I have to react to this. You know, I can't walk into the building with Kyle not here.
You know what?
Man, that's, like, I get props that he to, was their boss.
Props but, to Kyle. People like the guy. But some of the comments, like, what do you mean? Like, people said, I'm in mourning?
I think it's Jonas, too, because Jonas, I almost said Jonas a note and said, are you that source? Because I always tease him. I mean, Kyle, he loved Kyle, and we all did. But it's just still a scenario where you got to move on. I just thought the wording was really, really strong.
And no one put their name on it, obviously. Yeah. And that's a part of the – and that's to be expected because Shanahan's still – you know, Shanahan's probably trying to figure out what's going on here. How are people feeling? It obviously would send shockwaves, of course. Right. But his contract was up, right? Like he said on Monday he may not come back based on his own volition.
Exactly. Right?
Not the contract expiring or not working out a deal. He may step away. And it didn't get resolved. One thing led to the next, and Kyle's out. And I understand the shockwave. I understand the nerves and the uncertainty of what's going to come in the future. That is 100% understandable. But it couldn't have been that shocking to anyone. Like, if you got let go out of nowhere in December, shockwaves, right. For sure. And yet it just... I feel like there's this narrative going around about the Leafs that it's, you know, it's bedlam, and it's Gotham City down there, and no one knows what the hell's going to happen. And I just don't think that's a reality. You know, it's still an organization where the owners are in place, the president's in place. They're going to have to hire somebody. You know, they got to figure out what they're going to do with the coaching staff. I cannot fathom that. I will admit that. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's fair to Keith. If all of a sudden you're going to let him go in 2 weeks or a month, and if that's always been a foregone conclusion.
I know,
that,
but if it does happen, Hayes, sometimes the timing is weird with a coach firing. You've been around pro sports for a long time. There's just random times where all of a sudden a coach is just let go out of the blue. It happens. It's unfortunate, and it's bad timing. But if a new guy gets hired and wants to bring in a different coach, that's what's going to happen. It's just one of those things in sports. Well, sometimes in the middle of a summer, when an off season, a coach just randomly gets fired. Maybe it's for another guy. Who knows? But there's no fair time to get gassed.
And you can also, there's no rush to do it. Sheldon Keefe isn't working till October, technically. Now, I get it out of respect.
He'd probably like to get a call or two from a team that's looking for a coach, though.
Out of respect, 100%. But here's the thing. He's got another year on his deal, and you got to figure out who the manager is going to be. And you say to the manager, do you like this guy? Because the manager might like him, might have a relationship with him, might know him, the new manager. So it's sometimes you get willed somebody, this is what comes with the package. And the other scenario is like, okay, if you don't like it, you can change it. You have the option to do it. I was looking at the Toronto Maple Leafs, their website. You can look at their, you know, management team or whatever. There's 110 people on there. Like, you go through other teams. Like, I went through Ottawa. So there was 43 people. Like, they've got nothing but resources. They've got all these things. They've got everything that you could ask for at your fingertips. So, yes, there's going to be somebody still driving the bus at the general manager's chair, But I agree, Brian. I don't think it's bedlam there. They've still got a lot of good people in place in a lot of critical areas.
Well, so, and there's change, right? And it's right. happening at the end of the season, which is natural. Like, when else would it happen? Like, if this came out of left field right before the trade deadline, then yes, that's chaotic. And something happened, and you should have to come out and explain yourself. Here, it's the end of the year. His contract was up. They've moved on from the GM. He's been here for 5 years. They didn't right. just hire him 6 months ago and then get rid of him. That's dysfunction. Like a yeah. five-year run, and then the contract expires, you move on. That's not dysfunction. It's like we've forgotten what – believe me, this team defined it for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, we've forgotten what true dysfunction looks like if you think this is dysfunction. Now, if they hire someone that – you know, it's not going to go over well, and some of the names being interviewed or allegedly being interviewed will not go over well with Leaf fans. They won't.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean they're going to hire them, right? Interviewing someone or reportedly interviewing someone doesn't mean you're hiring somebody. And wait till the dust settles. When they hire, they figure out what the coach is. They get through the offseason, and you'll find out starting next year where things are at, right? Yeah, it's too premature to really to claim – you know, here we go. You know, it's Gong Show City again in Toronto, and the Maple Leafs are leading the charge.
Agreed. And keep in mind, some of the names that get floated, those people are doing their own bidding. They're leaking it to people and going, hey, I mean, because I'll guarantee you, and this is throughout the league, you hear names where I'm like, there is zero chance that person's getting hired. But it's because this person knows this person and that, and you're like, where did that name come from? Well, it just so happens. Like, again,
it's called a favor.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, some of those names, they may not have even interviewed, but it's just, you know, it's floating it, and hey, you know, throw my name out there, and believe me, you see it in every market, and now it's the Leafs' turn because they've got an opening there. So
right, you know, and it's the most public. Right, like if your name gets attached to an interview here, everyone in the hockey world is going to know it. There's no sneaking in an interview or a public
report. But everyone
report.
In the hockey world knows, that guy, why is that name even there?
He's not getting his job.
No. Right. Zero chance.
They laugh.
But
just because you call some pigeon that does a blog and say, hey, say that I interviewed for that gig, and the guy goes, yeah, I'll do it. And it's just, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're actually that close. But, yeah. You know, I will say, you know, this is – on both sides of MLS, I guess on these are three different tentacles of MLSC. These are the three teams they own, is the Leafs, the Raptors, and Toronto FC. Like, how they put fires out does say a lot about how your program is run. And it starts at the top, right? And how the owners get involved, how they allow their people to work and the freedom to work. You know, with TFC, it starts at Bill Manning's desk and works its way down. Obviously, it's right. Shanahan with the Leafs. It's Masai with the Raptors. And, you know, they believe in those people, and they have to filter it down and make sure that they put a product on, you know, the pitch, the ice, or the court that is going to play out, you know, appropriately in the future. But how you collectively as an organization get through a storm, and there's some storms for sure going on right now. I'm not downplaying that. It does say a lot about how you're built, right? And like the pillars of your organization and the philosophy in which you put forth. The same thing applies with the Jays here. Like, there's, you know, the vultures are out here, right? The vultures are out in terms of what's going on with this club. John Schneider, a lot of people are like, he's in over his head, you know. They're not going to fire this guy, nor should they. They're in a storm. It's the first storm he's really had as a manager. Let's call it what it is. And right. and he's at the forefront of it. The team's
well,
not
he better
playing
tighten
well.
Up, though. He better not have
sure.
any.
But they just hired him.
Like, I know.
You're not going to give the keys to the car and then 6 months later say, wow, we really screwed that up. And sure, they've lost some ball games recently. Sorry, you're out. I mean, that right. to me would be a horrible look in terms of the hierarchy of the team and how they operate.
Yeah. I think a lot of times management, regardless if you're a hothead or not behind the scenes, like, you have to be patient. Like, I know you're 51 games in now, the Blue Jays, so you're just north of 50. You still got 110 games
left. Got a lot of games left.
A lot of games left. But they have to get going. Like, you can't make excuses. They got to get going.
But Schneider's got to be better. He's got to be a lot better. And, you know, he's made some decisions recently that have been highlighted, and they're negative ones. Like, yeah. It's and one of them in particular, very embarrassing, what happened against Baltimore last week.
Yeah, the Manoa.
No question.
Yeah.
But, you know, these guys aren't hitting. They're not pitching well. And things are going astray. And, yes, Mattingly's there. And maybe you could argue Mattingly was brought in as a you know, an option, right, as someone that could be there as a fall guy if need be. I'm just saying, like, Schneider came up for Montoya when they took off. Playoffs went the way it went. It wasn't great. This year started very well for them. They're in a storm. They're in a slump. They're slumping and they're playing poorly and they're losing a lot of ball games. But if you're going to turn on a guy you've committed to because of a 12 to 15 game run, you were never committed to him anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
like
you got to allow Schneider and company to try to build their way out. And over the course of 162, if you believe in your club, then you got to give them a chance to get out of, you know, what's a slump. Now, in a month, could be a very different story, right? Subject to change for sure in a month. But I don't think it's the case right now. All right, Mike Johnson's coming up. Dallas survives, right?
Yeah,
Dallas survives. Joe Pavelski. Yeah. I told you, I love the Stars. I've always had belief.
You love DeBoer and Spot.
Spotter and all the boys down there.
They got her done last night, and I was kind of happy for them. I thought they deserved that win. Like, they were the better team last night. They played well, and the goalie was solid. He didn't have to steal it. But, you know, Vegas kind of were back on their heels. That wasn't Vegas' best performance, put it that way.
And if things go south, you could maybe shove a pair of shorts, a pair of jeans, a bar tee, and you just say, I'll be at my exit meeting in a few days.
If you lose back in Vegas, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm Dallas and there's a possibility, I might throw some swim trunks in the bag. Never know. If things go wrong, you're just like, see you in a couple days.
But what's the day party there?
Well, it's Wet Republic. I've been there, done that. It's quite
a
scene.
I just don't understand. Like, what could your expectation be for the evening if you have 30 vodkas in a pool? Honestly.
Yeah, there wasn't one for me. I'll admit, like, I checked out at a point where I was like, that's enough. Because it was the second or third day. You get there at, like, 12.
I'm aware of it.
You're there at noon. You leave the place at 7 or something.
By 5 p.m., you are crushed.
It is the wildest scene on earth. You talk about people watching. Go sit beside the entrance between, like, 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., where people are coming in flying, right? Everyone's like, all right, let's go. And everyone's sober and go stand by the exit at 6 p.m. And it's absurd. Great. There should be an anthropologist just sitting there studying people. Like,
dude,
right,
people are cross-eyed, walking out, falling over
them. It was literally Anthony
absurd.
Davis. I saw an Anthony Davis, like literally somebody leaving in a wheelchair. They were so drunk.
Yeah.
And like just hunched over. I always joke, like I don't like to go in the pool. Like, think of how many people, like, that pool is radioactive.
That pool is contaminated, man.
The one time we were there, we had a table, and that the DJ Zed was playing, and he was right there, and somebody puked in the pool. They blew the whistle, they cleaned it out, they did one little flush, and then they blew the whistle, and everyone went back in. I'm like, I'm not going in there.
No.
Why the hell would you go in there?
The puke is the worst of the problems. Like, I've said it before. How could a bachelor party of 15 have 400 Miller Lights and not one guy gets out?
Not one. They literally, but the chemicals
outrageous.
Are beyond insane. Like,
that's what it is. There is you know, horse tranquilizer in there. They're using chemicals.
Yeah.
That you
might as well just put syringes in that pool. Horse syringes.
It really is. You're right, a group of 15 middle-aged guys with board shorts that were cool 15 years ago in there.
Yeah.
And none of them leave. You're like, they are legitimately.
The server brings trays of 40 light beers. And these guys don't budge for 6 hours. Yeah. It's insane.
I've witnessed it. I've seen it.
I did it in the Bahamas. I told you, there are 20 of us in the Bahamas at an all-inclusive. I'm pretty sure we left and they just shut the place down for 2 weeks. Hazmat suits. They were flying scientists in from Europe. They're like, go study that, because there were 20 guys that didn't leave for 3 days and something doesn't add up.
I mean, if I would appreciate some honesty. Just put your hand up and say, I'm pissing in the pool.
Right.
I'm doing it. You know what I mean? Because don't bluff it and act like, don't be like, hey, man, oh, that guy never gets out of the pool. You're one of them, too. We've all done it.
I know.
But put your arm up and be honest.
I wouldn't do that. I have claws. I wouldn't personally.
So you're telling me you've never put in the four-hour shift and not gotten out of the... Dude, I will admit, I've done it numerous times.
I've done it too, but
all right, three pack around the table.
I've done it within smaller parties as well.
It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
Let's just call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
It's all every vacay occurs.
We're gonna need some horse tranquilizer.
I am that guy.
Yeah. Are you O'Neill's just calling it a hot tub? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Like an intimate hot tub?
Cannonball right into
Six
the hot
people
tub.
There.
I'm just saying, like if it's a trek.
If it's a long day, there's a lot of sun. You just get lazier.
Dude, you're tired. Yeah.
It's absurd. All right, Overdrive brought to you by FanDuel. I'm sure they're proud of this.
Yeah.
Bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score. Mike Johnson coming up. Does Dallas have some life? Is it possible? We'll see. We'll get you an update on the semis going into the World Championships as well from Johnny. Duffy's on the show today. Josh Cloak on What's Up with TFC. Scotty Mitchell on the Jays in Minnesota. Dear Hazy B in a couple of hours. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Dear Hazy B returns in a couple of hours going into the weekend. Beautiful weekend up here. And I guess we'll have more of the third round of the Stanley Cup playoffs with the Dallas Stars surviving. Boston Celtics surviving last night, too. So Miami's starting to get a little bit nervous. I don't care what Jimmy Butler's saying. Like, Butler, I think, might believe it in himself. Does everyone else believe it? Like, no team has ever come back from down 0-3 in NBA history. That'd be something, man. That would be something. That is not what you want to be remembered for.
Dude,
right?
if they win in Miami, it's over. That's as simple as that.
Seems that way.
It's over.
Yeah. Seems that way. They'd come back and absolutely pummel. They might
crush
be a double-digit
them.
Favorite for Game 7 back in Boston. They really might. Probably deservedly so. We got that cooking in the NBA and in the NHL. And the World Championships continue with the Canadians into the semifinals. We head overseas now, catch up with our TSN hockey analyst. Here's Mike Johnson. How are we feeling, Johnny, about Canada's chances? They're going to possibly medal at a minimum here, but you like their chances of winning gold or what?
I like their chance of getting to the gold medal game, AV. I mean, they're playing Latvia, who they beat 6-0 in the first game of this tournament. Now, it's been a crazy, as you guys remember, on the Tuesday night. It got even crazier when they beat Sweden on Thursday night. But they're not in Riga anymore. They're in Tampere. There is no crowd of maniac Latvian fans supporting them. So, yeah, I mean, I think fully expect Canada to play the U.S. in the gold medal game. And you would think Canada would have a good chance of winning, but the U.S. has been by far the best team in this tournament by like a considerable margin. They've dominated everyone, so Canada will be hard-pressed, but I would expect them to get to the gold medal game.
Okay. We'll take that, right? I mean, considering the way they're built, like everyone's come in here with reasonable expectations. It's not exactly, you know, the 76 Canada team we're talking about here. It's kind of grinders and battle, and they're getting goaltending.
Yeah, Montembeault's been good.
Really
correct,
good.
Johnny?
Yeah, he's been the story. Like, you know, every time the tournament comes around, you're like, who's having a great run here that maybe could catapult them to next year, Noodles? And Montembeault, who was no good 2 years ago, played really pretty well for Montreal this year, has been the number one goalie since day one. He's certainly lived up to that billing. The tournament voted today. He might win best goalie of the tournament. He's been that good, so... And they needed it because, as you guys mentioned, they don't have a ton of offense. They don't dominate games by any stretch. It's a grind, and they need good goaltending. He's given it. So he's been the one true standout, along maybe with Mackenzie Weegar. But other than those two guys, it's just been a sort of a collection of guys chipping in enough to get to where they want to go. And, yeah, they're likely to play for a gold medal, which you would always take and kind of take your chances when you get to that spot.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, I heard you on First Up talking about, you know, the buzz about the Leafs over there and how, you know, regardless of what people say, you know, they're all captivated by the Leafs and this idea that there's change happening. But I'm curious if what you're picking up on from people around the NHL that are over there is that they believe there's dysfunction within the Leafs ranks, because that's what we're trying to figure. I don't see it that way. I know it was a sloppy end, but I don't see dysfunction yet. What are you hearing from people over there, and is that what people are seeking out? Do they want to see dysfunction return to Toronto?
Well, I think people want to jump to that because people like to latch on to bad things happening in Toronto because there's probably, jealousy is not the right word, but, you know, like people like to hate on Toronto because they are popular, because they get a lot of attention, because they are celebrated even though they haven't won a Stanley Cup, you know, all the obvious reasons. And so I think people are quick to say, yeah, like, what a mess. They're going right back to the Ballard days. I'm like, that's not it. The only thing that people are curious about and sort of the chatter amongst the NHL people here is, you know, what really was the relationship between Brendan Shanahan and Kyle Dubas like? Like, it seemed outwardly like they were very much on the same page, very supportive of each other. Shanny admitted he wanted him back. But I think, you know, as far as what was the actual working relationship, was Brendan Shanahan more involved in what was going on the ice than maybe we were led to believe, or maybe than we perceived as being? That, I think, is kind of the conversation piece. Like, you know, how much is Shanny involved? What, you know, why would Kyle ask for more autonomy? Like, those kind of questions more so than the Leafs are a mess right now. I think most people, the NHL people, like, yeah, the Leafs are going to go through some changes, but given how talented they are and the lack of success for so many years, probably makes sense that they go through some changes at this point.
Johnny, the big talk is two things. The rumblings of the core four coming back, mm-hmm. would that happen on your watch? And would the coach be coming back on your watch?
Yeah, I mean, I heard like Shanny made the call to the core four and said, you know, the intention is to bring everyone back. I don't know why maybe I know why with Austin and Willie he does that because he wants to sign them, but you know, I don't know if they need to have that assurance. Like, I guess I'd say this though. I would not guarantee that all four guys would come back. I would have to see what kind of trades are out there. I'm not trading one of them just to trade one of them. I have to get something that would be appropriate sure. value. But I wouldn't call and say there's no way you guys are getting traded. I mean, I think I'd say, you know what? As Kyle Dubas said himself, I will look to any avenue that I can to improve this team. And if that means trading somebody that is one of those guys, then that's what I would do. As far as the coach, coaches, it seems so much about like the interpersonal relationship and the vision between the GM and the coach. So I would kind of take the same tack. Like, I would not guarantee Sheldon Keefe would be back, but I would explore who else is out there and what might be better. But he certainly has been good enough that I'm not firing him or replacing him just because. I don't think that's not necessary just yet.
Johnny, if you believe now, if a new manager comes in and wants to put his stamp on this team, and it's not just with a couple, you know, roster mm-hmm. moves, but it's more about the, I don't know, the country club attitude or, you know, what's perceived of that music during practice, all of that type of stuff. Wouldn't you have to replace the coach if you wanted to do, you know, the whole kind of top to bottom, hey, we want to revamp? And culture is the wrong word, because I'm not saying there's a bad culture there. If anything, it's been a very good culture, a positive
and
culture.
It's also not was what Johnny just said, just because
right.
under him, they won one round.
But where I'm going is if you want to, you know, maybe it's their style of play. You know, possession, they love to play possession. I get that. But, you know, even the top possession teams are just between 50 and 55%. That means, you know, 45%, you're giving the puck away. You got to go get it. Like, there might have to be a different voice from the coaching staff to play a little bit different style that is more successful potentially in the playoffs.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I mean, I think certainly if they were to trade a player, that would go a long way into disrupting sort of the degree of comfort that they
right.
like. I'm not going to talk about culture or lack of, you know,
right,
but maybe
right.
just the kind of comfort that they have in their situation. But the easiest and most obvious way to do it is to change the coach. You bring a new coach in, and I don't know if you guys, like, I played on what, Tampa replaced the coach midseason, Phoenix replaced the coach midseason when I was there. So twice I had a coach leave middle of the year. And a new coach is the best way to revamp everything. Relationships start over, roles, responsibilities. all the norms of how a team operates, whether it's travel, whether it's music during practice, whether it's meetings, whether it's whatever, it all changes when a new coach comes in. So if that's what you think needs to be done, then a new coach is the best, cleanest way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, there hasn't been that much focus on the coaching situation, in large part because Sheldon Keefe is still here, clearly, and the Dubas-Shanahan pressers in the week that was, you know, was so captivating, and it took over the front pages, and everyone's buzzing about that, and the belief that, you know, the process you have to take here is you got to put a GM in place first, and then you make a call. But there's, you know, every offseason there's big names available, like long-standing big names. I don't know if they want to go down that route. Like, that's what I'd be intrigued by to hear from Shanahan. I don't know if he'd give a clear-cut answer because I don't know if he'd want to cut out the new GM
right
at the knees, right? But he said clearly he wanted a GM with some experience, or at least that would be very attractive to the room. Does that apply with a coach, right? And if so, like, just using a name as an example, Peter Laviolette is a guy that's out there. Like, and yes, he's been around and he's had ups and downs, but this guy has won before. And wherever he goes, generally it works quickly, right? The first couple of years, you get a lot of success, and then it goes south. Exactly.
Yeah.
But, like, he's out there. Is it worth saying, hey, we got to go grab this guy? I don't know if they want to. I don't know if that's the guy.
Right.
But they're like, look at the coaching carousel last year. We're talking great, great coaches that were available. And it's likely going to be the case in some, you know, capacity this summer. It's just a matter of whether or not the Leafs want to go down that road.
It does, but the timing, because it becomes interesting, because the coaching carousel really starts the second the season ends, right, which is 2 weeks away. So I'm with you. Shanny may have opinions about, I would like Pierre Laviolette, I would like whoever, but I think it has to be the GM's call, or at least it has to be perceived as the GM's call. You cannot come out and say, I'd like this guy, and then the GM, you know, is kind of forced to go down that road. I think they have to get the GM done first and then see what direction they want to go, because they got to marry the GM's vision with the coach's delivery with the roster on the ice. And it has to flow kind of down that road. And until the GM gets hired, you know, coaching decisions are going to have to wait. And if that means that Peter Laviolette gets hired elsewhere, then maybe you lose on that opportunity if that's the case. But that's sort of the way they put themselves in that corner because of the timing of trying to get this GM search done. And it seems like now it's more than just a Trey Living announcement. Now it seems like, you know, I'm reading, you know, Mark Bergeron or Peter Chiarelli or whatever other veteran GM guys are out there, that they're all kind of being interviewed and they're examining whether that would work. So it doesn't seem like it's going to be a two-day thing. It might be a little bit longer than that.
Johnny, don't you think, and we had Craig Conroy on yesterday, and Craig was talking about, you know, working as a team between the GM and the coaches, and that's why I think it's important, if you get a new manager in, that he takes a look at Sheldon Keefe. A lot of times you need the GM and the coach on the same page, not fighting against each other. We've heard stories of other organizations that have been dysfunctional and they've won, where the manager and the coach don't really talk, but they've won before and had success. Where, to me, it's a scenario, if you've got a new GM, don't you think he has to at least have a previous relationship, or it helps to have a previous relationship with somebody who's in the coaching seat, especially you're taking on a massive job like this? And I mean a massive job, just the market, everything that comes with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Noodles, if you're the GM, like, you, in your mind, you have a vision of how you think this collection of players that you have, or some version of this collection of players, should play to be successful.
Right.
So you need a coach, and, like, maybe Sheldon Keefe doesn't see that's the way to be to coach, or maybe he doesn't, that's not a specialty to coach that way, or there is a better candidate to implement that vision than Sheldon Keefe. Well, then you should go get that better candidate. But maybe it is Sheldon Keefe. Maybe, like, the way I see it is the same way that he coaches it, and that makes a lot of sense, even if I don't have a great pre-existing relationship. But yeah, they absolutely, because if they're not, then you're not, you know, one guy's pushing, one guy's pulling. You're not working together to the same goal. So, yeah, everyone has to be aligned in how they are trying to become successful. And, you know, for the Leafs, it will be interesting because they've been so incredibly successful in the regular season, but so unsuccessful in the playoffs. So how much tweaking if it is Sheldon Keefe, can they do with a relatively similar roster? I just don't know. It's not like coaches can't coach multiple styles. They can, but I don't know. When a coach tries to change and he's been the same coach for 5 years in the same group, it's hard for the new for that change to occur because it seems out of character. So, yeah, a new GM on a different vision and Sheldon Keefe implementing it would be tricky to do.
Yeah,
without question. And that is what is up in the air, and that's something they got to figure out pretty quickly, like really, really quickly.
But we keep hearing.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. You know, we'll see who they're interviewing and how it all plays out. All right, Johnny, good luck this weekend, buddy. Thank you for doing this. We'll do it again soon.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend.
Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. I think that's makes sense that you have to interview multiple people. Like, if you're Shanahan, take advantage. Listen to different people with a different viewpoint of your organization. And you can't just hand it to somebody.
No, there's probably a couple guys that you would never thought would be available. Who knows? You just got to sniff it out and see what's out there.
Right.
And somebody might surprise you. You know, what Pierre was talking about yesterday, somebody comes in and goes, this is what I've been seeing, and gives you an outside-the-box type of view of, like, this is the way I would treat this situation. And you're like, wow, that makes sense. You know, like there might be somebody that kind of not floors you, but surprises you pleasantly and goes,
just
I got to take a look.
Different eyes, Jamie. Different
well, it
eyes.
Is different eyes. And that's where I think, you know, you said it day one when all this went down. Remove the emotion from it. This is a team that's had tremendous regular season success that's won one playoff round. And after 5, 6, 7 years for some of these players, change is inevitable. So you're going to have to, you know, sort that out.
Yeah, and we've all talked about how we like all the people involved. They're good people. We talk to them. We kind of work with them. But when you don't win in this business, change happens. It's the way it is. And sometimes a fresh set of eyes on it and some truth serum, like we talked about with Alec Manoah yesterday, somebody just saying to you where you might not have heard it before, you're never going to win if that happens, or if this guy is here, or if both of these guys are here, or if you design your team like this. Maybe that's what somebody, I don't know, just a different set of eyes on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's naturally going to happen because there's going to be a new GM, right? So you're going to get a different set of eyes. What their views are, how they apply them, that is yet to be determined, right? We'll find out. And this team's been to the playoffs 7 years in a row. That's a really good run. You don't want to lose that. You want to continue to bottle that, but then you obviously need to get above and beyond what they've done in the playoffs. I mean, that's natural. Duthie's coming up. James Duthie will join us. Dear Hazy, be still to come. Our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. So some tough news here. Danny Jansen has been placed on the 10-day IL with a groin strain. Oof. So, yeah, not good. Not good. Not the best. Not surprising, though, right? When he went for the MRI, when he came out of the game and then wasn't available, you kind of knew something was coming here. Tyler Heineman has been called up, but that means Kirk's going to get a lot of run here. Alejandro Kirk's going to play a lot, and he's not playing well. A
lot of base stolen.
Yeah, he's got to get his act together, too.
Got to get his act together behind the plate. The pitchers have got to be way better at keeping runners honest, and he's got to start hitting. You know, he's got to start cooking, man. Like, last year, that was a big part of what they did. Springer, you know, leading off, he has not been good enough. And when they had their A-plus lineup cooking, like, Kirk was batting cleanup, you know, a lot of that. And he's nowhere close to it, so.
Well, dude, it's time for him to decide what he wants to tell people that he is. You want to be a big league ball player, or you want to be kind of a cool story that the short little stocky guy that could hit last year was just a flash in the pan. So he's gonna tell a lot in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. And sure, he missed camp, a lot of camp, understandably, fine. But now it's almost June, so that's over. You've caught up now, right?
Yeah, you can't play that card anymore.
Yeah, you can't play that card anymore. And they need you. They're going to need Kirk to play a lot, play well. And, you know, Jansen was playing really well. He was. He was a stable part of this staff, and he's going to be out for a while here. They're in Minnesota tonight. More on that with Scotty Mitchell. Scott Mitchell will join us in the 6 p.m. hour. You got Gausman on the mound tonight. Man, they need a win, right? Like, you just got to get a win here. start a series off well, feel like you're in the driver's seat, try to win a series. You have to sweep the Twins, take two of three, come home, have a day off, and breathe. Like, that's what they need to be thinking here. Get two of three in Minnesota, come home and breathe. So Scott Mitchell on that later this afternoon. James Duffy coming up. The block party, I think the cops were called. Yeah, I think the cops were called on the block
party.
Came
and broke it up.
Yeah, it's broken, scattered. Everyone's gone home. And it's not a good scene.
Pretty sure the guy thinks I got to go to the Canadian Open, play two rounds of golf, and then the game's over.
He's coming up for the RBC Canadian Open. But I think there's a positive angle there that he's off for a week now and regroup, right? Like, we'll get into it with Duffy into the next hour. And Josh Cloak of The Athletic with that bombshell report on what's going on with the gong show that is Toronto FC. More on that around 5:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
You've been listening to Overdrive, powered by FanDuel. FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score.